If you don't know who I am, my name is Mike Scan. I am the lead pastor here at Epic Life. And if you've been kind of absentee for the last couple of weeks, we're concluding a message series that we've titled Love Story. And it actually was going to be more of a walk through the book of Song of Solomon. And God kind of totally just, X that out. And we've kind of been just talking about how to have this powerful relationship with our spouse. We kicked it off with talking about the Warrior series. Are talking about warriors and what it means to be a warrior. Then we kicked it into gear with our princesses. And then we talked about attraction. You know, we talked to guys, hey, you know, guys, you know, there's no such thing as a unibrow anymore. Let's shave that thing down. Let's make it look normal, right? You know, two looks good. Girls like that. Deodorant's always a good thing. You know, we talked about attraction. It wasn't just, though, dealing with, say, our physical attraction. It was actually dealing more along the lines of dealing with our spiritual attraction. That there's something happens, man, in a marriage, attractionally wise, when a husband and a wife begin to worship together. I mean, begin to worship the Father together, man. I think it's an amazing thing that happens in a marriage. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. And then we did a video because I wanted to show a really cool demonstration of something that I've preached throughout this entire message. We talked about that marriage, or when you get into a relationship, or especially you single ladies and you single guys, when you're looking for a relationship, the most important thing that I think we've got to remember is the idea that marriage isn't just about, you know, this animal type instinct that we're about looking for a mate. But it's that you're going to reflect the image of our Savior. You're going to reflect the image of God. It's very important. And we miss that, and we get so wound up in trying to feel accepted by this male or this female that we're attracted to. And so you miss the point that, hey, is he going to glorify God? Is she going to glorify God? Or is this relationship all about the flesh, all about lust, all about that other stuff? And so Jimmy Evans brought a great picture of how from the very beginning, when God created man after his image, after their likeness, he created them both male and female. We're talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we're made in that image. And what a great illustration from Jimmy Evans. Then last week, we just went off the chain, man. I mean, if you want to know what last week's message was, you got to get online, because I don't know what I preached. It was just powerful, man, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our life and making a decision to say, you know what, I'm not going to rule the relationship. I'm going to submit myself, husband or wife, to Holy Spirit. And I asked the question, what would happen in your life, what would your life look like, whether it's in your marriage, in your relationship, if the Holy Spirit led your life? We talked about dating couples. And if what would happen if the Holy Spirit led that relationship? For those of you who are looking, what would happen if you let the Holy Spirit lead you to the person that you're supposed to be in relationship with, or that you need to be in relationship with, or whatever? A powerful message last week, man. It just never even got to my notes. I think I read one paragraph out of my notes. I had several people. I had one person tell me it was the greatest compliment a pastor, I think, can get. I don't know if it's a good compliment or a bad compliment, because this is what he said. He said, Pastor Mike, did you preach from your notes last week? And I said, no. He said, you need to preach like that more often. Wait a minute. I work hard at these notes, praise God. But it was a good message. It was really a good message. Go online. You can go to our website, epicliferal.com, and go to media or messages, and you can listen to all of our messages to get caught up with those. This morning, I am going to teach on the message that I actually planned to do last week, because there's some key elements. Can I come down to you guys, man? I mean, everybody's on vacation, so I think I can come on vacation. That way I don't have to walk back and forth, and I can sit next to Nikki and Bob and just, you know, have a good message time there. So I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. So not really different. I just won't have to walk as much. Praise God. All right. So what happened was is there, I think there's how many of you married, or even if you're not married, let me ask you a question. How many would like that life to extend in the relationship? And the longer you're in that relationship, the deeper you feel loved. How many would like deeper love in their relationship? Just a couple of you. That's cool. Okay. You know, hey, I get that. You know, some of the guys are saying, no, that's not what I want. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about a deeper love and how a deeper love can be established not only in a marriage relationship with a husband and a wife, a male and a female. I'll throw that out there just in case anybody doubted what I stand on. We stand on God's truth. I'm not here to judge. All right. But also, if you are a person looking into a relationship, getting started into a relationship, maybe you just started dating, you know, you think you found a stud, all right, or you thought you found a studette, whatever, you know, and you're like, hey, you know, what's up, you know, all right. So wherever you're at in this relationship, God has created us to yearn inside of us. I don't care how manly you are, and this might not be man-friendly, but we're going to get all our, I don't want you to get sensitive on me, men, okay? But God has created in us, even as men, we want to have this deeper kind of love. I want to know, man, that when I come home, man, she's there. And because the reason she's there is because the love that she has for me is deeper than anything I experienced. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you just started dating or you're just dating or you're not quite married yet or you're thinking about getting married or you just got married or maybe you're not quite where I'm at, I've been married. Some of y'all probably have been married a little bit longer, but I've been married for 24 amazing years. Well, I can't say that. Let me back that up. Got a minus 6 years from that. And so I've been married for 12 amazing years. Praise God. Depends on who you ask. All right. So the longer I am married with my wife, and y'all know my wife, she is an amazing woman. But the longer we're dating, and we do date, the longer we're married, the longer we date, the more we're into this relationship, the more deeper I understand the love that God intended us to have in a relationship. And what's really cool about it is, man, you think about this now. All right, some of y'all probably got in an argument or a fight on the way to church. I can't remember 99% of the arguments that my wife and I have had. It's that sometimes petty. Because there's such a deeper love that we have now. And now when we think, we don't even argue anymore. It's kind of like, she's just right. It's an amazing relationship that we have. It's a give take kind of thing. It's just awesome. No. What it is, I have such a deep love for her now that a lot of the garbage we used to argue about doesn't mean anything anymore. It's an amazing relationship. Well, God wants that, not only with us here, but he wants it here. But how many of y'all know this? Unless you deal with the relationship here, you're going to be jacked up in a relationship out here. That's the bottom line. And we can paint it whatever color we want. We can talk about it however we want. We can sugarcoat it, make it all sweet. It's still going to go down the same. Unless we deal with our relationship here, the relationship out here is going to be a reaction. Look, when I do marriage counseling, it never fails, man. The very first question that I ask in marriage counseling when couples come in to talk to me is I ask them two questions. When was the last time you prayed? And when was the last time you read God's word? First two questions will come out of my mouth. When a person is struggling in their life, be it financially, be it spiritually, be it in a relationship, be it in a decision that needs to be made, first two questions out of Pastor Mike's mouth will always be, when was the last time you prayed? You would be amazed at how many people would be going, let me see here, it was, and I tell them, whoa, you're thinking way too long on that. Way too long on it. 99.9999999 tenths of whatever of our problems in our relationships are solved when we go to our knees. But you know what? Can I say something? Can I just be honest this morning? Since it's your family, there's no guest here this morning, praise God. So I can be honest with family. It's because we're lazy. We're lazy. We'll go to Pastor Mike because I don't have to pray about it. We'll go to our friends or we'll go to Dr. Phil or Oprah. We don't want to take the time to go to our daddy who created us, who knows everything about us anyways. And is struggling. We want the quick fix. Can I tell you something? It starts here. Now, with that in mind, what I want to talk about is I want to give you three elements this morning on kind of this deeper love. How do we develop a deeper love, not only in our marriage, but in our relationship? Well, the number one deal is, to develop deeper love, you have to understand that it requires deeper strength. Deeper love requires deeper strength. If you have a worship guide, you can open your worship guide and actually write that in there. So deeper love requires deeper strength. There's an old saying. Some of y'all can finish it out. All right? Insanity, the definition for insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again with what? Expecting a different result. You cannot continue to do in your relationship the way you've done in your relationship. Single people, you cannot continue to date. Listen to me, single people. I'm watching you. I can see if you're talking. Listen to me, single teenagers. If you've kind of had this thing with relationships and you keep hitting your face against a building because the relationship's getting, you keep getting used, you keep getting, it's time to go, hey, you know something? This isn't working. In your marriage or in your relationship that you are with your significant other, it's the same thing. You've got to change the way we think, the way we process, the way we do things. And that comes from understanding that it requires strength. Look, a warrior knows this. A warrior gets his strength from the king that he serves. Matter of fact, let me rephrase that. Holy smokes. Kings, you're going to get strength from what you serve. Now, I heard a lot of amen from the ladies, but ladies, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen to me. Ladies, you get your strength from what you serve also. You see, if you're serving the One Life to Live and General Hospital and all Ryan's children, as the stomach turns and all that other garbage, if that's where your strength is, I like that. Some people, yeah, absolutely. Oprah, Dr. Phil. Well, Pastor Mike, but Dr. Phil said, praise Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. Our strength has to be deeper. That means there has to be a better power source. See, a warrior understands the king that he serves and the requirements of his king, and that what drives him is the protection of the kingdom for the king. There's a deeper strength. Let me see if I can give this to you a little bit better. A warrior knows where to find strength. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Look here. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit of God, this is a powerful scripture. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I spoke on this scripture last week, and I kind of went totally left when we started talking about it. But the idea is, if we understand the king that we serve, men, listen to me, you'll find strength. So here's the question. If you're doing marriage the way you've always done marriage, because everybody else does marriage that way, and you aren't getting the results that you have, there's a reason for that, is that you're not going to the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit, man, searches. I love that. It says it searches the things of God. It knows the deep things of God. And some of you, I've heard this before. How many of you have all heard this? I don't understand God's word. It's too confusing to me. Raise your hand. Heard it. You know why? What did it say? It says that a worldly man or a natural man doesn't understand the spiritual things. See, a false doctrine is being taught around our churches, man, that all you got to do is check a little box, do a little Hail Mary prayer, and you're in. Salvation issue. We're not going to talk about that today because we're always talking about salvation, praise God. But the idea is that with the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit can lead our marriage the way he wants to lead the marriage. The problem is we think it's up to us. We think we have to have all the answers. Men especially. Let me say something that Jimmy Evans shared. I think it was Jimmy Evans that shared this. It doesn't, I talked to a couple. When did I talk to this couple? Maybe it was during our marriage seminar. And they were sitting in, over here and they said, you know, we're not like all the other couples that are in this room. And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, we're struggling. We haven't figured this marriage thing out. I was like, really? That's awesome. I said, you know something? Every person in this room is in the same situation that you're in. We hide our conflict in marriage. We do, and we're really good at it. My wife and I, one of the biggest mistakes that we made in our marriage was when we hadn't been married but about, I don't know, 6 years just before I messed my life up and went to the penitentiary. And during that time of struggle, one of the worst mistakes that we made was to walk around into church, especially around Christians, and act like everything was cool. Oh, we put on the good, happy faces, man. We knew how to do that really, really, really well. We'd like, you know, we'd hold hands, and we'd get home, and I was the biggest hole that you've ever met. At home, I was a jerk. We hid that because we thought we were the only ones struggling in our relationship. We hid that because we didn't want other people to see, oh, and realize, man, we're not perfect, that we have issues. I had issues. She had issues. See, the Holy Spirit guides our life. When I decided, and Robin decided, to let God be the center of our marriage, truly be the center, then arguments begin to decrease. And I was telling our team, I was telling someone this morning, Rob and I rarely argue, and this is the truth, we rarely argue and fight anymore. It's a very rare situation if that ever happens. I can't even tell you the last time we actually got into a really good, heated, just intense fellowship time. Right? Because it's just, we're being led. Both of us have chosen. Listen, she had to make a decision in her life without her husband interfering that she was going to follow and let Holy Spirit lead and guide her life. I had to come over here and make a decision in my life that if I was going to be a strong warrior, if I was going to be the husband that I'm supposed to be, that I was going to let Holy Spirit lead and guide my life. I couldn't decide for her that she needed to submit to the Holy Spirit. God did not create man to bring conviction on his wife. And God did not create the wife to bring conviction upon her husband. The Bible says that it wasn't good that man was alone, so he created a helper. Not to walk behind him, but to walk beside him. She balances me. She gives me strength. And there was many times, church, where I had to go to my knees for strength. Because there were times, believe it or not, she wasn't all on cue and all point. I know y'all think she's perfect over there, praise God, with her little hand folded up on the table, all pretty like, praise God. All right? But there was a point in her life where I had to go to the Father. And let me tell you, this was my prayer. Listen, this is how I prayed for my wife. I said, God, she's your daughter. Fix her. I ain't lying, man. It was like trying to figure out, man, how to, you know, I couldn't figure her out. But my strength was found there. And you know what God would do every time men listen to me, man? Listen to me this morning. You know what God would do? Fix me. Like, what the heck? What kind of joke you playing here? But I got my strength from being on my knees. I got my strength from going to my king. I didn't get my strength from bellowing out her and going, look, I'm the man of this house. You're going to submit to me and you're going to do what I ask you. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on God. I'm using my life as a demonstration of how God has brought this amazing, deep love relationship that I have now with my wife. You see, if she wasn't willing to submit her life and find her strength from the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't in a position where I didn't want to do it, and I wanted to be stubborn and go, I'm just going to be, I'm the man of this house. Bless God. We're going to do what I say. Then I would be probably millions of dollars in the debt right now, and I'd probably be single, alone. There comes a time, warriors, that we have to say, you know what? There's somebody bigger than me that I submit myself to. And there comes a time, princess, that you have to go to the king to resolve issues that only God and your daddy can solve. Your daddy wants to solve those issues, and your husband was not created to solve those issues for you. He was created to come alongside you so that you guys can walk through this world together. And that's the bottom line. Strength. If you want deep love, it requires deeper strength. To have a deeper strength in marriage or in any relationship means learning to know you don't have to have all the answers. A warrior draws his strength from the king that he serves. We get our strength from Holy Spirit. We're believers. I'm talking to Christians this morning. Our strength, our knowledge of who God created us to be, no matter how dark it gets in your life, comes from the time that you spend with Holy Spirit. We try to reverse it though, don't we? We come to church on Sunday morning, we do our little 1 hour, or in our case, an hour and 15 minutes or so, right? I said, oh, so that gives me a little change. Praise God. You never know what we're gonna do. And we think the rest of our life is gonna change. And we spend absolutely zero time in prayer and studying and learning from God and understanding God's law, and or not law, but his rule or his life for his people. And we go to church on Sunday morning and we think that's the cure-all for everything. But that's not how you develop relationship. This truth came to me. It's actually something I knew, but the way someone said it this week, and it's just been stirring in me since last night. We had a meeting last night that we'll talk more about that in the coming days. But this person said, people are hurt through relationship. Think about it. 99.9% of people who have damage in their life that walk out of a wounded spirit or have a marriage that's wounded or that's looking in a relationship that's wounded or living in a relationship that's wounded has been wounded because of a person. Because of a person. How do people get healed? Through relationship. Now, my relationship primarily is with Heavenly Father, my daddy. That's my number one relationship. But God brought this amazing woman in my life and brought her, and through that relationship with here, as I grew here and I grew here, God healed here, everything in my heart. Some of you have heard my testimony about my mom. She wasn't really cool. Matter of fact, she was pretty jacked up. When I was 14 years old, man, she took a .22 pistol, pointed towards my head, and said, I wish you were never born. That kind of does something to a dude, man. It's kind of like screws his mind up a little bit. But God did the very opposite with a woman, man, that said, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you did, I love you, and I'm here for you when you get out. He showed me the meaning of what Christ's love was for me through this amazing woman. And because of that, I found strength. We sometimes, as we're married in time or we're in a relationship, we begin to point out the faults and the junk and funk of our mate or our spouse that's with us. And yet those things were still there when we first met them. They were there. One of the things Rob and I have learned to identify, man, is that our strength does not come from each other. It can't. She cannot carry the burden of strengthening me as a warrior and the man that God called me to be. And I cannot burden her with carrying the responsibility of helping to carry the strength that I need, or vice versa. Does that make sense? I can't burden her with that. It's impossible for a woman to try to carry that responsibility. It's impossible for a man to try to carry that responsibility. Why? Because we were created to be together, but yet our dependence was in our Heavenly Father. That's where our dependence comes from. The problem is we've jacked things up. We try to get our strength from one another, and then when things go bad, we run to Daddy. Then things get good, and we go back to each other, running back and forth to each other. And God says, man, I didn't make it that way. The Bible says this, it says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. He doesn't say go to your spouse. He doesn't say find another date. He didn't say, hey, that boyfriend didn't work out or that girlfriend didn't work out, go find another. He said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That word rest actually comes and translates out into peace. Praise God. All right, let's move along. Philippians 4:13, look at this. It says, I have strength for all things. Say all things. I have strength for all things in who? In Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses, I love this amplified version, infuses inner strength into me. Men and women, your strength comes from Daddy through the Holy Spirit in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In my relationship with Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs my life, I have everything I need. I have all the knowledge that I need for a marriage. I have the strength that I need to be the man that God called me to be. I have the strength that I need to be the woman that God has called you to be. We have everything that we need. Paul said it this way. He says, I have everything that pertains to life in Christ Jesus. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, I have. Some of you need to look in the mirror, man, and remind yourself of that you have everything you need. You have it. Number two, deeper love happens, bad word, through surrender. Through surrender. We kind of hit a little bit of this last week. In today's modern world, this and the last point are going to be the toughest for us to swallow this morning. We can admit that when it comes to marriage, we're lacking in strength at times, especially if we're in a struggling relationship. But tell a warrior that he will become stronger if he surrenders to a greater power, someone with far greater wisdom, and that warrior will think that means he is weak and unable to accomplish the task. If you tell a woman in today's modern time that you need to surrender, she thinks it means that all of her rights are given up. You tell her this, and then she thinks that she must be subservient below her counterpart. How Satan has lied to the princesses and the daughters of God. How Satan has lied to men, the warriors of a kingdom. See, we need to get this morning. When we surrender our will to that of Holy Spirit, we don't become weak. What actually happens is just the opposite. We become stronger. We become the men and the women that God has called us to be. It's like the time, I love this illustration. It's like the time we're learning how to ride a bike for the very first time. Think about it for a minute. Go back in your past for a second. Or maybe it was your uncle, your aunt, a brother, a sister. Think about when you first were learning how to ride a bike. This is what surrendering's about. I remember when I was doing it, I was on my little red bike. I found this red bike. It was one of the shorty bikes. I know what you're thinking. I've always had a shorty bike. That's not true, okay? I did grow a little, all right? We found it under my... there was a neighbor that used to babysit me. Her name was Telltale. And I think we called her that because she would tell on us all the time. I'm not sure. But anyhow, I got to snooping around one day under her house, and way back underneath her house, I could see bicycle wheels. And I didn't have a bicycle. And so I asked Telltale about it. And she said, if you can get it out, we'll look at it. So I crawled up underneath there and grabbed this bike and I pulled it out. Of course, at the time, you know, that bike looked like it was like this tall to me, you know. I was so little. And man, it was this red Schwinn bike. Even had training wheels on it already. Man, I wanted to learn how to ride a bike. My brother and sister were out riding bikes. I wanted to go with my brother and sister. I was about six or seven years old at this time. And so we got this bike all fixed up. My dad helped me fix it up. We put stuff on it, you know, and put some WD-40 on the chain and made sure everything was working and tightened everything down and got new tires and put new tires on it. I think there was a pedal that was broke off on it, and he went and bought a new pedal, and I was just like ready to go. And I get on this bike, and I remember telling my daddy this, don't let go. Don't let go. So I go riding, 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 and I knew in my mind, in my heart, everything, my daddy was back there. And he wasn't going to let go. And I turn around and he's gone. But I was riding the bike for myself and by myself. See, this is what the act of surrender means. The act of surrender is actually we reverse the role now. And we're the parent. And we don't let go. We want to hang on. And daddy tells you, let go. Let go. We want to hang on to that so tight because we want to have control. See, surrender is just letting go and saying, God has got my marriage. God has got my wife. God has got my husband. God knows what man is out there for me or what woman is out there for me. God knows. That's the act of surrender. It's not an act of being weak. It's an act of gaining strength. Right? It's time to let go. Let the Holy Spirit lead your marriage and lead you to that right person. See, this is crazy. We need to get a truth. If you will get this, it'll change your marriage. It will change your life. Who do you surrender yourself to? We all surrender to something or someone. Let me ask it another way. Who is really leading your life? Because our life, especially in today's time, is led, it can be our kids. I know some of your guys' schedule, and your life is not led by the Holy Spirit. It's led by the soccer schedule. There's nothing wrong with playing soccer and soccer. Don't go thinking I'm down, don't play soccer. That's not what I'm saying, praise God. But your life is led by that. Your life is led by the gymnastics schedule or the dance schedule or this schedule or that schedule. That's who leads your life, not the Holy Spirit. Surrender means we give our life and say, you're running things. You're running the show. See, if you're leading your life, you make the calls, you make the decisions, you make the choice. I'm going to hit you right between the eyes for a moment. It's called humanism. See, if you rely on your education or your wisdom to solve your problems, if you're the shot caller, the Bible says you're a humanist. You make decisions based on what feels good, what's right for you, what's right for your kind of world. The Bible calls it humanism. Maybe you decide your future and make decisions based on your daily horoscopes. This is going to hurt some of you. That's called witchcraft and sorcery. And I know some people that do it. First thing they do, get out of bed, is they go to their little horoscope app and they click on it and it comes up and it says, your day will be filled with whatever. And that's how they live their life. What's your sign? You don't want to ask me that. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit will lead us because anything we continue to surrender ourselves to makes us a slave to it. Romans 6:16 says this, do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you're the slaves of him whom you obey? Whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God. See, whoever you surrender yourself to is what you're a slave to. To have the deeper love that God wants for us requires us to surrender in a way that we maybe never thought of surrendering. Some of you guys are struggling so much in your life because you've not surrendered your life to him. Now, he's your savior. It's not a salvation issue I'm talking about. It's just a surrender. It's like, okay, I've got Jesus in my heart. He is my savior, but he's really not the Lord. I'm the shot caller in my life. I kind of do these things on my own. I play it by chance. I roll the dice. Whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to do that thing. I don't spend time in prayer. I don't spend time praying with my spouse over whatever it is that we need to make and the decision we need. I don't surrender. Therefore, I'm the shot caller of my life. Jesus said, look, there can't be two lords. You can't be Lord and he can't be Lord. There can only be one. And that's the hard part for humans because we're human and we want to be able to be in control. And sometimes that sucks, man, because I want to be in control and not knowing what the future looks like really stinks. And I need to know what's happening. I've got friends like that. Some of you are in this room. You got to have control over it. You got to know, okay, I got A and B down, but I need to know what F, G, and H look like. I need to know that before I make a decision. Sometimes you've got to trust and surrender your relationship, your marriage, your spouse, and let daddy control that. God does not leave us to our own devices. He gives us His word as the roadmap to this life, but the word's not enough. We all talked about that last week. We talked about this last week and said, if the disciples, Jesus told the disciples that the word was not enough, but they needed the Holy Spirit, what makes us any different? We need the Holy Spirit to live in our life, to be the men and women that God's called us to be able to live in a life that's surrendered to Him. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live victorious life. Zechariah 4:6 says this. It says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by what? My spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See, it doesn't matter how much you know God's word. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are. He says, look, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Holy Spirit that things get done, that things happen. God will do something. When we understand how Holy Spirit can work in our life, dude, it is amazing. Things happen that you can't explain. How you meet this person to meet that person to do this and accomplish that. Just amazing, amazing thing. Holy Spirit has been a part of Robin and I's life for a very long time. Let me show you how Holy Spirit works. Man, I was at the kind of the beginning of this junk. Peter and Stephanie, right at the beginning of it, right? When we met them, somewhere in there. I worked at Greenville Ford Lincoln Mercury. Yes, can you believe I was a salesman? I sucked at it. I did. I was not a good salesman, man. I was horrible, all right? So I didn't know why we were at this job. I knew that because I was fixing to kind of probably go into pokey. I kind of knew that was fixing to happen. I knew that was kind of in the cards for my life. But nevertheless, I lost the job that I had. Well, I didn't lose it, just somebody else was doing it. So you'll get that on the way home. So I had this job. Somebody else was doing that job. So I got to go find another job. And I ended up working at Greenville Ford for, I don't know, a few months. Had no idea why I was at this place. I was miserable there. Hated it. I hate selling cars. I hate car salesmen. Oh, I don't. If you're a car salesman, I don't hate you. I hate your profession. Okay. I don't know why I was here. One Thursday, I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday. I think it was a Wednesday. Yeah, it was a Wednesday. This tall, lanky guy gets out of this car. And I walk up to him, and I put out my hand and go shake my hand with him. And I said, how you doing? I said, my name's Mike. I said, welcome to Greenville Ford. What are you looking for? And the first thing out of this guy's mouth is, good day, mate. Oh, I thought, this is going to be fun. I said, you ain't from around here, are you? He said, nope. I said, where are you from? He said, New Zealand. I said, man, that's pretty cool. And he introduced himself as Peter Kirby. And this is how Holy Spirit works. He's so amazing. And so we get to talking. And he test drives a couple cars, you know, and he really wasn't sold. He said, well, my family's coming into country. I just got a job in Greenville at L3. He said, well, can I bring them by tomorrow evening when they get off the plane and test drive this particular vehicle? I said, absolutely. Come on by and we'll take a look at it. So they went about his business. And so he comes back and he gets in the, they bring the family. I meet his wife, Stephanie, and three daughters, right? And don't ask me to remember all their names because I don't, but they were all tall and they were all taller than me anyway, but that's not saying much anyhow, regardless of how old they were, right? I just had like a 9-year-old girl come up to me today and she said, Pastor Mike, I'm almost as tall as you. I'm like, great, thank you. Before I preach, let's really build confidence in Pastor Mike this morning. No. And so I got to meet him. We got to talking, and so somehow we got turned on to homeschooling. I said, we talked about the girls and said, you know, where are you guys going to go to school? Have you, you know, where are y'all living to go to school? I said, oh no, we homeschool. Well, at the time, Robin was homeschooling Caleb and Jake. And so I thought, well, that's a cool thing. So we started talking about homeschooling. I said, well, you must be Christian if you're homeschooling. Most people who homeschool are Christian. I know not everyone is, but most are. And so we got to talking about church. And I said, well, where are y'all going to church at? Well, we haven't found a place. We just got into town tonight. I'm like, duh. And so I said, all right, cool. So I invited them to church. They came to church, fell in love with the church, and we became very, very good friends. Now, they didn't know anything that was happening in my life. And at that moment, I was going to police stations, talking to detectives, lawyers. I was fixing to go to the pokey. I mean, I knew that was fixing to happen. And so needless to say, fast forward a couple of months, and I end up going to prison. I did 6 years in the penitentiary. If you didn't know that, you know now. My story is out there. You can go read my story. I don't have time to go into it today. I just want to show you how God works. Peter and Stephanie were an amazing couple and so strong in their faith, where Robin and I really, in all fairness, we were very weak in faith. though our position and what we did at that time was in ministry and church related, we were really, really just babies. We shouldn't have been doing what we were doing because we were still infants, in my opinion, now looking back on it. So I get locked up. Well, what I didn't know is that Peter had a pilot's license. And everywhere that I went, Peter came to see me once a month. He'd show up and he'd pray for me. He'd just love on me. It's an amazing dude, man. And so then what I found out, I don't know, probably halfway through my sentence, within 3 or 4 years of it, I did 6 years in there, his wife and my wife became very, very good friends. And without sharing all the kind of crazy detail, what I didn't know was Peter was feeding me and spiritually speaking and helping my life and helping me grow and become the man that God called me to be. And what I had no clue about was that his wife was ministering to my wife, feeding her and teaching her who she was in Christ. And all of this was happening simultaneously, all because of an encounter that happened about 3.5 years before that in a parking lot at Greenville Ford Lincoln Mercury as I was a salesman going, why the heck am I selling cars? Amazing. And what ended up happening from that, man, is my wife and I learned about each other. And when I came home, she was a completely different woman. And she will tell you, I was a completely different guy. All because we realized that I had to find strength from someone else, something else. And I learned to surrender to Holy Spirit. If I wouldn't have surrendered, let me tell you what was going on the first part of my prison sentence. I was a mean, angry, vindictive person. I was mad at God. I was angry at God. It's his fault that this happened. And I could have stayed there, but I surrendered myself and decided that if I was going to be the man that God called me to be, I had to surrender my life, and I did. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's see what we got here. Number three, well, final one. This is a tough one. Deeper love happens when I die. Yeah, I was talking about this. Somebody said amen. Praise God. Are you talking about your spouse or? Okay. All right. So this is a really, really tough one, guys and gals, because we don't want to die. I'm not talking about your physical body, okay? Some of y'all need to take care of yourself. You're going to die a little earlier, all right? But that's not what we're talking about this morning. The hardest one is, this is the hardest point to probably take in this morning. The greatest tragedy in marriage today is either party will not do that. We have some have not got the clue that marriage is not about self. Self must die. Now watch this. This is given to me by Holy Spirit. So amazing. Ask a new mother. She complains because she has no time for herself. She's tired and she's worn out and she seems to do some more. Why? Why does she keep going and she keeps doing it? She keeps doing it. Because I would contend that when she realizes in her life, I've watched two different types of women that have given up. Somebody remind me those are there because I'm probably going to forget they're there. There's two types of women that I've watched give birth to children. It's amazing. I've watched one, younger mothers mainly. And younger mothers are stressed out. They're tired. They're worn. They're just totally, completely engaged in that child. And I've watched the other ones, which is the more mature women that tend to give birth later on in years or later in years, not later on in years, because they're not like they're 60s or 70s or something like that. It's happened. It's in the Bible. But no, I mean, women that maybe have waited into their 30s or 40s, they've matured a little bit, right? And I've watched both of them. The one that's over here that has given birth, a little older, a little bit more mature, realizes it's not about her, and she goes through raising this child with almost, it's almost effortless. It's amazing. And the woman that's over here, or should I say girl, young woman, over here who's given birth to a child, thinks it's all about her. She's stressed out, freaking out, wonder what to do, yada, yada, yada. What's the difference? She thinks it's about her. She knows it's about the baby. Not about her. So this stuff doesn't bother her. This stuff isn't even, it's not even on the radar. She's died to self. She's died to herself. Something supernatural will happen in our marriage and our lives when we choose to die to us or ourselves. When we say, as Jesus said to do, or when we do, as Jesus said to do, I choose to pick up my cross. I choose to die to myself. I realize today it's not about me, but what God wants to do through me by the Holy Spirit. Look here, John chapter 12, verse 24 through 26, I believe. Yeah, right there. It says this, most assuredly I say to you, watch this, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. He's saying, look, whatever I am, whatever I do, whatever I say to do, my servants will do the same thing. But why? They have to die to self. They have to be like a grain of wheat. This was an amazing revelation for me in my life. When I realized that it wasn't about me, and I had to die to myself like a grain. If I wanted to be a fruit producer, if I wanted to produce fruit, if I want to be a reproducer, if you want to be a reproducer, whether that's reproducing in your own children or reproducing in the heavenly realm type area or in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to learn to die to self. Let me tell you something, somebody in here, this is for you. The world, it's amazing. I got to get up here. I got to tell you this. Because some of you can't see me. It's not about you. If you don't leave with anything this morning, it is not about you. Your life is about who created you and gave you life, not your mama. Gee, I love it. People say, where'd you come from? My mama, where'd you come from? Praise God. It's not about you. There's so many bigger things happening in the world today than your little issue. You have to die to self. Some of us just haven't gotten that yet, church. Can you imagine what our church would look like when we realize that every person that walks through that door, man, God has a designed purpose for? And what would we do in our life? And what would we be willing to give up? What would we be willing to sacrifice in our own lives so that we can see one person, just one person, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What would we be willing to give up? See, some of us think, man, why didn't you come to church this Sunday? Man, I was just so tired. Yeah, but you went to the bar last night, didn't you? You posted it on Facebook. Oh, yeah, but I needed my rest. I was so tired. I got to work Monday. Really, nobody else has to work Monday? You're the only person? What if God needed you here Sunday because someone needed to meet you? Someone needed to touch you. Maybe some of you guys got a ministry inside you. Man, just a word of God is building up inside you. And God says, man, would you throw that up and get that out because someone needs to hear it? Oh, yeah, but I'm not called to preach. Really? Why did I give it to you then? You are called, anointed. Every person within this room, even beyond the room, has a designed purpose by God. You have a role to play in it. And whether that's just the warrior man standing out in the parking lot helping someone or working in the children's ministry or in the toddler ministry or the nursery, or whether it's playing in the band or preaching the gospel. Maybe for some of you, man, you just need to get a guitar and go out on the tarot on the square in the middle of the night, man, and just play and talk to those people that are walking the streets at night. Man, we got to get out of our shells and out of ourself and die to self and say, you know what? There's something greater out there that God wants to do in and through our lives. The problem is we think it's about us. And we're in our comfort zone and we're comfortable here. And don't jack with my blankets because I like it. My wife, man, she's got her pillow. Guys, you with me on this? Am I the only one? Their pillow. Wait a minute. It's on the bed. Isn't that like public domain? Apparently not. I'm learning, okay? I'm dying to self, all right? Praise God. Listen to me. We all have a call, but we have to die to self. I want you to understand this morning. You are already dead if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Man, that's what the scripture says. Colossians 3:3. Watch this. We're going to run through some real quick. For as this world is concerned, what's it say? You've died. Your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. You don't even live. Oh, man. Come on, next one. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ, are you in Christ in here? All right, praise God. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What does crucified mean? They're dead. All right, one more. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally bore our sins in his own body, talking about Jesus, as on an altar and offered himself on it, that what? We might die, cease to exist, to sin, and live to righteousness. The word righteousness means in right standing with God. By his wounds, you have been healed. I love that because I quote this passage quite a bit. 1 Peter 2:24, if you're sick, you come in to me first. You come to Pastor Mike, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? Yes. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I'm healed. I pray that all the time. And man, as I'm studying this a couple weeks ago, I see this and I was like, whoa. He personally bore our sins on the altar and offered himself on it that we might die. When you get up in the morning, start doing, I dare you to do this for 30 days. Look in the mirror and say, you're dead. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. That's what Paul said. You know why Christians will martyr themselves for the gospel? Because they're already dead. They're already dead, church. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Wow, that was weird. Get back. Okay. A deeper love will happen when we decide the Holy Spirit is the leader of our marriage. But not just that, our entire life. There are so many things that happen inside the marriage. There's a supernatural force that happens when a man and a woman make covenant together. Now, I don't have time this morning to talk about God's view on covenants, but I want you to see something this morning, church, that when two people come to a point to say, I'm dead. No, I'm dead. We're living for Jesus, man. This is what it's about. Holy Spirit's in charge. Watch what happens. Look at the Bible. Look at the word. Matthew 18:20. For where two, oh my gosh, this is going to change your marriage. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, what's it say? I'm there in the midst of them, right? You don't want to know the power of marriage? It's when two people who are locked in covenant together, which is what a marriage is, and you begin to pray together. You begin to love together. You begin to serve together. You begin to conquer hell together. You begin to increase the kingdom of God together. There is a power, supernatural force that nobody can contain. It is amazing what happens when my wife and I can tell you this for as a living example, I can go and pray and I love to pray. I love talking with my Father. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Do I love it? Yes, I do. It's just amazing, man, hearing him talk to me. But there's something else happens when my wife and I, one of the 10 things that we do when we go to bed at night is she'll either reach over and grab my hand or I'll reach over there and grab her hand and just begin to pray. And man, it's like the whole room changes. It's amazing. But I can pray for something over here by myself. And I can grab hands with my wife, my covenant partner that I have in this world, and join hands with her. And man, the gates of hell, man, go to trembling. See, marriage is not about your flesh like you think it is. It's a supernatural, powerful weapon that God uses to create a deeper, intimate love, not only for husband and wife, but for him. He's got a plan and a purpose for marriage. And that's why I want you to experience the deeper love. It's supernatural, church. It's supernatural. So whether you're looking for a partner and you're kind of hunting, you know, maybe, you know, you're in the disco lot or the country music scene or whatever it is, don't forget this. Will this bring God glory? Because let me tell you something, man. The body, oh, gravity's going to take over. It is. Oh, she might be fine, look at a little thing right now. All right? But eventually, she has children, and children do something to the body. All right? It does incredible things. It stretches and pulls and changes. And that stud you got to be looking for, got that big old puffed up chest, you know, got arms like, you know, my thighs or whatever. Yeah. If he's drinking Budweiser, it ain't going to last very long. It's going, for some reason, something supernatural happens. It goes from here to right here. And it's just like, hey, all right. Do you know that's why guys buy bigger trucks? I just bought one, I'm saying. Praise God. That's a joke. Praise God. Y'all don't hate on me. All right. If something supernatural happens in a marriage. Supernatural. Holy Spirit needs to be invited into your marriage. And I hope you'll do it. I hope you realize, young people, man, that there's a bigger picture of marriage. Don't commit yourself to just anybody. God's design and purpose for marriage is very, very specific. Be patient. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 11 says this, two are better than one because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and have not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone? God never created mankind to be alone. That's why he said it's not good that Adam's by himself. He created a helpmate. He created someone to do life together with. Supernatural. What would happen if we intentionally sought after Holy Spirit before we made a move on anything in our life? What would happen in our marriages if we invited Holy Spirit to lead? I want to pray for us this morning, but before I do, if we're looking at our relationships, I want you to think about this. John 15 and 13 says this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The greatest relationship that you have, church, the greatest friend that you have is the one you partner with to do life together with. Understand the supernatural force that you have in relationship. Understand it. Because you can rock, man. You can rock and you can change things. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every person within the sound of my voice this morning. And whether they be single, or whether they're married, maybe their spouse is or isn't here this morning, take us deeper, Father. Let us be vessels of love, Father, everywhere we go. Let people see Jesus in us, Lord. Let there be a difference in my life than those who are in the world. Let there be a difference. This week, Father God, put people in our lives, Lord God, that are sent directly because you want to use us to influence the world. Take us out of our comfort zone. Take us out of our normalcy and help us to live a life that's supernatural, that glorifies you, God. And Father, I pray for those who are struggling this morning. There's people that are here this morning, Lord God, that are in a real dark place. I want to pray for them. Father, I lift them up to you, Father God, that Holy Spirit, right in their seats where they're at right now, they don't have to come up here. Just whisper quietly to them, I've got your back. I haven't let go. Holy Spirit, strengthen those folks that are going through a time right now in their life. Hallelujah. There's a couple of people here, a few people actually. Sometimes the trials and the things that happen in our life, we don't understand why they happen until after they've happened. And it's hard when you're in the midst of it to stand strong. But it's in the midst of standing strong that victory occurs. And I know that's kind of a no-brainer. But some of you are on the way out. And you're wanting to give up. Because you think God can't see what's going on. The Bible says, man, he knows everything. He knows every hurt. He knows the hairs on your head. He hasn't quit on you. He hasn't given up on you. Your strength comes when you surrender. Did God make these bad things happen to us? No. We live in a fallen world. Did God cause my spouse to cheat on me and to leave me? No. We live in a fallen world. Did God make this sickness happen to my family? No. We live in a fallen world. But he says, come unto me. Come unto me, all of you who are heavy with burdens. I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke, for it is easy to carry. So wherever you're at in your life right now, whoever that's for, let me encourage you with this, man. Surrender. Surrender.